Company in Forestville, California, and online at LuckyMojo.com. I'm your announcer, Miss Kimmy Lee of TripleCrownConjure.com in Pensacola, Florida. And in just a moment, we'll be joined by our co-host, Catherine Ironwood of LuckyMojo.com in Forestville, California, and Conjurman Ali of ConjurmanAli.com in Mission Viejo, California. This week, we will be joined by a special guest, from the Association of Independent Breeders and Root Workers, John St. Germain in Knoxville, Tennessee, of johnstgermain.com. And together, y'all, they will take your calls and offer advice to address, ameliorate, and remediate your questions and problems about love, money, career, and spiritual protection using traditional African-American folk magic practices of hoodoo, conjure, or root work as defined and prescribed by the greatest spiritual hoodooists of our times. You can learn a lot just by listening, but if you're selected from among those who signed up at the Lucky Mojo Forum at forum.luckymojo.com and called into the show, you'll be on the air and receive a free consultation. We'll be going to the phones in just a moment, but first let's catch up with our co-host, Miss Kat and Conjurman Ali. Miss Kat?
Thank you, Tammy Lee. That was nice to hear. And I just loved that jug band music, I must say. All righty. Well, today is another Sunday, and boy, have we had a week. As all of you who follow this radio show know, we've been joined by a whole little flock of other radio shows. And we've been busy getting them set up with their own web pages, their own Facebook pages. And I just want to give a big thank you to everybody who's been involved with this. And this includes all of the hosts, co-hosts, announcers, and helpers on all of these radio shows. And let's see if I can remember them all. Let's see. We're going to start with Candela Kimbisa, Robert Lucas, Malik Kimbisa, and Beverly Smith, John St. Germain, who'll be with us in a moment, Andrea Weston, and Professor Charles Porterfield, and Conjurman Ali, and Miss Tammy Lee, and Nagashiva Ironwood. I think I named everybody. If I miss somebody, speak now or forever hold your peace. but all of us have been working very hard, and we've been sending out invitations through Facebook. If you're a Facebook friend of any of us, you should be receiving invitations to subscribe to the different Facebook pages for the different radio shows. And these shows are announced in their own little Facebook pages. Plus, there's, you know, upcoming news about the shows and things like that. You don't have to like every one of our shows. They're all different. They all have different topics. You don't have to like every one of us. We all like each other, and we're all working together to make a network. So that's what networking is about. If you do get an invitation through Facebook to like one of these shows, like it. Read it, read what's there. If you don't like it, unlike it silently. We won't hold it against you. But we think that most people who are interested in African-American folk magic, which is hoodoo, conjure, root work, and most people who are interested in the subject of readings and divinations will like most of the shows that we have. So that's what I've been doing all week, is basically just running up those invitations. And I'll tell you, Facebook doesn't make it easy. You have to send out each invitation one at a time. Well, they don't want abuse. You know, they don't want someone to hit, I'm inviting all 10,000 people. No, you can't do that. So you have to hit them one at a time. And it can take a number of hours. I just found out it takes 2.5 hours to invite every Facebook friend of my personal page to like a radio show. 2.5 hours per show. It's fun. It's kind of like playing, oh, you know, one of those old-fashioned video games, you know, where you're just going to aim and hit, aim and hit, aim and hit. And then you get a new screen and you aim and hit and aim and hit some more. And eventually, you've invited 4,159 people to like, wow, Liquid Libations, for instance, or In the Streets with Beverly Smith. So that's been my week. That, and want to give a nice shout out to the folks in the shop. Thank you, Dave, for running trains. Nikki, Yose, Heidi, Leslie, everybody's in the shop and down in the church. Did I mention Miss Phoenix and also Lupita and Shanique. I think that's my full house for the day. Everybody gets a hello. And so that's what we've been doing. Let me ask you, Ali, how are things in your world?
Things are wonderful. Thank you for asking. I am eyeballs deep in geomancy readings. I wish I could take a picture of this right now and like post it into the chat, but maybe I'll do it on my Facebook. But I have piles and piles of charts all around me, of astrology charts and geomancy charts. I'm doing some timing work for a client of mine who's doing a business endeavor. And so I've cast chart after chart looking at things like money, partnerships, location. It's fun work, but it's work that, you know, it takes a certain mind to really enjoy. I always say that the earth signs would enjoy something like this. Like a good Capricorn would love this type of work, or a good Taurus, but this might be terribly boring for like a Gemini. So I'm surrounded by these elaborate and beautiful charts with different colors because I like using various pens when I'm doing geomancy readings. But it has been a fun week. I'll probably post a picture of it online. I have my handy-dandy portable whiteboard with me to do, like, temporary charts, and then they get transferred onto more permanent paper. It's fun. It's been a great week for divination for me.
Wow, that's good. Well, you know, it's funny. That's one of the things about Tauruses. We are very much into our little charts and diagrams,
yes,
aren't
we? Yes, we are. Yes, we are.
If I've been making little statistics charts all week long about how many new likes there are for each of the radio.
I've seen them, and I'm going, oh, she's such a Taurus. I always say Tauruses make either amazing detectives or phenomenal historians, because we like working with compiling things and researching things and digging through things.
Yeah, thoroughness.
Very much so.
Well, let's bring on our guest, John St. Germain. It's very nice to have you here today. How are things down in Tennessee?
Well, hi, Miss Kat. Hello, Conjurman Ali. Things are very nice down here, except it's kind of rainy and cold, so I'm a little congested, so you'll have to forgive me if I'm sounding a little gruff. I'm not normally this gruff sounding. I'm working on this. With a few crystals, those of you suffering from asthma and things like that could use amethyst, amber, and malachite for that on the chakra points. So that's a little crystal wisdom you can attempt. That's what I'm doing.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
Say that again. You got a little bit of a laryngitis thing going on there from the cold weather, and you said amethyst, malachite, and
amber.
Amber.
Mm-hmm.
Ah, yes. Amber. Now, that goes back in my family. In my family, everyone always wore amber around the throat. I mean, you know,
right.
Amber necklace to protect, but they didn't call it a chakra. You know what my grandmother said? If you wear amber, like on a, oh, you know, back in the Victorian days, they'd wear those ribbon kind of necklaces. You know,
mm-hmm.
They'd wear
mm-hmm.
a tight necklace with the amber. That would keep you from getting a goiter, she said.
Yes, it protects the throat. Amber protects the throat. And
yeah.
That's
well,
very good for
you wouldn't get a goiter.
Exactly what's going on with me, you know, throat stuff, a little bit of congestion there. Dark blue sapphire is also good. A lot of people wore sapphire chokers to protect the throat as well. And use malachite, use the polished malachite, not the rough malachite, if it's directly attached to your skin, because, you know, malachite has copper in it, and you don't want a lot of copper getting into your skin, because copper,
right.
Yeah, you know, copper absorption can be very bad for your skin.
Right.
Yeah. So you
well,
malachite.
Well, I'm glad to know that. I've loved malachite also. That's another good one.
It's
well, we're going to be
all-purpose stone. It
yeah,
does a lot of
we're going to be talking about our panel discussion for today is on the subject of crystals and the Crystal Silence League.
Mm-hmm.
So as usual, I'm going to give a little bit of a background to the Crystal Silence League and what our topic is. This is an unusual topic because we're going to be kind of ranging into some history here as well as the future. Crystal Silence League was founded, as many of you, but not all of you know, back around 1919. Well, actually, now somebody has come forward with some evidence that maybe the earliest book on the Crystal Silence League or the earliest mention of it was as early as even 1912. Other people saying 1917. We do have a book dated 1919. Some of them are not dated. That's our problem. We don't know which book came out first. However, the author of the book and all the creator of the Crystal Silence League was a man named Claude Alexander Conlon. And he had been raised as a farm boy, and he had gone to the Yukon to hunt for gold when the Yukon Gold Rush was on, you know, north to Alaska, going north, the rush is on. And he got in with some bad companions, and he had some problems. And but he got out of a scrape alive, and he also saved someone else's life. And one thing led to another, and he turned to a new career. And his new career was to be a showman. He gave lectures, and he also did a stage magic. You know, he was a stage magician. He sponsored a couple of the most beautiful twin ballerinas you could ever hope to know, the Nartel twins, and they would dance and do interpretations of exotic dances. And it was a beautiful big show. His wife was also one of his performers. Actually, he was married a couple of times. His first wife was with his show first, and then later his second wife. And he had a couple of kids. And in the teens and 20s, he was the highest paid performer on the stage who had that kind of a show, or really any kind of a traveling show that was just a one-person show like that with his little sidekicks. He made millions. And he retired very young. He retired in 1927 because what he really liked to do was to live in the woods and hunt and fish. And but he had also had become very interested in psychology. And during his time on stage, he published some books about crystal gazing and also some books on the New Thought movement. He was a friend of William Walker Atkinson, who was one of the major architects of the New Thought movement, known better to people from books about the laws of attraction, some of that stuff that was later, more recently, recapitulated and promoted under the name The Secret. And Claude Conlon wrote a book on psychology, 5 volumes. He wrote a number of pamphlets and books on crystal gazing. He gave private readings to people. And when he retired, the one thing he did not retire was his private service of readings. And people could send in a buck or so, and they'd get a reading. They could also partake of the Crystal Silence League. And this continued until his death in the 1950s. He lived in Los Angeles and also up north in Washington State at various times. The Crystal Silence League was a prayer chain. It was like something that would be done in a church. When he was a young boy, everybody knows what a prayer chain is. You go to the church, and maybe after services, everybody stops and they hold hands maybe in some churches. Other churches, they just stand silently together, and they all pray for, you know, a member who is lost, or a member who is ill, or a member whose son is in the war, and everyone prays. And then a prayer chain, you also can tell other people, would you pray for so-and-so? Would you pray? And a prayer chain can move from one church to another. Some people call them prayer circles. When you tell other people or ask other people to pray, it's called a prayer chain. And they are very common in most Protestant churches. Well, Conlon knew about this. But he came up with the Crystal Silence League, and this was something that he kind of invented. In fact, nobody ever did anything like that before. He had worked with crystal balls, and he used them to focus and to perform clairvoyancy. And John will tell us more about the 4 branches of crystal gazing, which really is Conlon's invention. But he sent out postcards to people. They bought a book from him on these things. They get a little postcard perforated, they tear it out at the back, and the postcard would say, what would you like me to pray for you for? And as I said, this man was an old farm boy. He'd get up at 6 in the morning. And there are photos of him with bags, those big old canvas mail sacks they used to, you know, put on the railroad and then offload. He'd have these mail sacks come into him in Los Angeles filled with these postcards. And he'd put them all down, and he'd put a crystal ball over top of them. And he would focus his mind, and he'd say, I'm going to pray for every one of these people. And he'd pray for them. And he'd read the cards and put them under the ball. And said, now send my light and God's light and the divine light to this person in their need. And this went on for years, and he was very faithful in it. And when he died, the whole thing stopped. And I always was an admirer of his. I was an admirer of his stage show when he was Alexander, the Man Who Knows, and I was also an admirer of the Crystal Silence League because of his dedication. I mean, the man would get up at 6:30 in the morning and pray. I couldn't get up at 6:30 in the morning, even if you shoved a cup of coffee in my hand. So I thought he had something that we could use in this world because there's a lot of people in trouble. And as the internet was invented, I really got the picture. He was sitting there in L.A. at 6:30 in the morning, but what time was it in Scotland? What time was it in Russia? What time was it in Turkey? You know, who really knows what time it is all those places and where those people were on their daily schedule? And I realized that the internet never sleeps and that the sun just, you know, lights up our sky just one time zone after another as the earth goes around the sun. And I thought, you know, if we had something on the internet where everybody could just tune in, get the prayers, and pray for them when it's your morning, when it's your noon, when it's your evening, you can pray for others, that would work. And I got to say that thanks to a man named Oren Davis, who used to be an employee of Lucky Mojo and is a very, very good software developer, we created the Crystal Silence League website a number of years ago. And that was at crystalsilenceleague.org. So if you need a prayer to be said for you, go to the Crystal Silence League. But in the meantime, I'm going to turn this over to John St. Germain. He's going to tell us a little bit about how Claude Conlon developed his thoughts and also what is going on now with the Crystal Silence League. So take it away, John.
Well, thanks, Ms. Kat. You pretty much said the entire background of vision, the development of the Crystal Silence League. Of course, somewhere in Mr. Conlon's evolution, he was exposed to the New Thought movement, which I believe, you can correct me if I'm wrong, wasn't that started by a man named Philip Quimby and a few others, and it was some people now, I believe, that are involved in Unity and Divine Science, that's also related to New Thought. And, of course, it became known as Law of Attraction. Napoleon Hill, Think and Grow Rich, is also, I believe, from the New Thought movement.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
Napoleon Hill, actually, a lot of people don't know that. He's a New Thought author as well. And the premise of this is that if you get something in your mind, if you can get it in your mind, then it'll happen. But it goes deeper than that. This is New Thought teaches that all physical ailments, everything that's wrong with us, physically, mentally, emotionally, starts in the mind and can be treated by the mind. Now, this is not Christian Science. In fact, I think the New Thought people didn't want to be associated with the Christian Science. But
right. There was a split.
There was a split. But it is an idea that we have within us, a mechanism that if you think healthy and you live healthy, that your body will correct itself. Your body and your mind will correct itself placed in a healthy environment and in a healthy frame of thought. One of the pieces of advice that Mr. Conlon gives us is don't read about disease. You know, don't read symptoms of disease, to stay away from things like that. And that's a very good thing. You know, we all have friends who they read about diseases and they immediately have it. You know, they'll read symptoms of leprosy and they go, oh my God, I think I have leprosy. And we all have friends like that. And you think, no, there's really nothing wrong with you. Or we do it. You know, we'll read a list of, you know, we read about Ebola and we think, oh my God, I've got Ebola. And, you know, this, he says, you know, keep your mind away from things like that. Put your mind along healthy ideas. And the whole law of attraction idea is that if you project, then what must be projected must be received. And springing from this, I believe, he began to develop his four branches of crystal gazing. One was the visionary branch, of course, which everyone knows about, which is crystallomancy or seership, scrying. That's when you peer into a crystal, the crystal ball usually, for the purposes of divination or clairvoyance, to see images. And I can tell you many, many funny stories about me looking at crystal balls going, come on, show me something, before it finally kicked in. And then there's the projective branch, which he called silent influence or sending. And that whole idea of silent influence appeared to fascinate him very much. He put a lot of thought and words in describing that. And the receptive branch, called induction or receiving, you know, what you project, you receive. What goes up must come down. And then there's the transformative branch. And this is very interesting that he did this in the first half of the 20th century, because we know so much about this now. It's very common. Crystal magic, healing with crystals. And this is just very common now, you know, from the 70s and 80s on, using the idea of a crystal, the vibratory energy of a crystal for projection, and for sending. That's not that common a concept, but using crystals for magic, spell work, healing, very common now, was not that common then. As far as I know, it just was not that common a concept at that time. But he believed that you could use the crystal, in his case the crystal ball, for magic, for healing, for making things better. He took the concepts of New Thought and combined it with the power of crystals, and created what was something that was completely unknown. And then, of course, he used this with his Crystal Silence League to create a network of people doing this, a network pre-internet of people with a combined purpose, a combined focus, a combined goal. And if you can imagine this worldwide network of people all focusing on the same thing, you see a prevision of the purpose of Maharishi Mahesh Yogi with his transcendental meditation movement, a bunch of people, a whole group of people trying to change the world. Because everything does originate with mind. Very many people attempting to change themselves through positive thought would change the world. And, you know, we've all read people that have said that. The Buddha said it. Krishnamurti said it. Many people have said it. You know, we are the world. We change ourselves, and the world must change. What you project must be received. And so here was a fellow who had a bad beginning, a rough beginning. We know he had a very rough background, who somewhere along the line received a transcendence, some sort of epiphany, where he said, you know, I could do something that could change the world. And realized his vision with the money he made from show business. He could have just retired to his island and said, you know, screw the world. I'll just hunt with my dogs and, you know, hang out with my son. But instead, he did something, which how many people do? I mean, how many people really do something with their money and their time? And he created this worldwide network in a vision. And I don't know if he intended it to live after his death. I'd like to think he did. He set something into motion, and I'd like to think that his people would continue it after his death, after he passed from this life. But it lay fallow for a while. It lay dormant for a while, but then it came back to life, and now it's got momentum that I believe now that in its current incarnation it will never pass away.
I agree with you on that, you know, because when we first put this up online and began to talk about it, you know, we thought, oh, maybe 5 or 10 people will ask for a prayer every day. But there's whole stacks of them, and there are pastors all around the world. Anybody can pray. You just go to the Crystal Silence League, view the prayers. You can print them out if you want to. You can also click a button if you want to do it all electronically. If you prayed for somebody, you just click I'm praying for you. And they get a little tiny email message that says, someone at the Crystal Silence League prayed for you. Completely anonymous. They don't know who you are.
Yeah.
And you don't know who they are if because they usually just put up their initials or an anonymous thing, say what they're praying for. And but we also have a lot of people like at Missionary Independent where we print out the prayers, put them under a crystal ball, and we pray for 1 month. Every prayer stays for 1 month. Now, that's more than you need to do maybe, but that's how we do it. And anyone can join. You can join and get a membership card. If you buy a crystal ball from Lucky Mojo, they have purchased a large quantity of the Crystal Silence League booklets by Claude Conlon and as a donation, really, to the church and then to Missionary Independent. And then they give you that book for free when you buy them a crystal ball from them. In other words, they that's their donation to the church to pass out those books. So it's a good deal. Any $6 crystal ball or more, you get a free book. All you got to do is ask for it, and you can ask for your membership in the Crystal Silence League. And it's really a beautiful thing.
And,
now,
I'm sorry.
Ollie, I've got to ask you, do you work with crystals at all?
You know, that's an interesting question. I am
You
new
have your
to,
ring.
I do. I do use my ring, and I use a crystal ball. I use several crystal balls. But I'm new to crystal balls in, I would say, the Western fashion, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I use the word Western for lack of a better term. The way I've used crystals is the way that I was taught to use them before in the Jin tradition and the West African tradition. And it wasn't very prominent in the work that I did with hoodoo. In fact, the majority of practitioners that I studied with and I learned from didn't use a lot of crystals or stones. But it's fascinating to see how there is this history there, and there is African-Americans learning these type of methods and adopting it into their own practice. So in terms of the Crystal Silence League, I am actually new to the Crystal Silence League, though I have been using scrying with crystal balls and influence with crystal balls for many, many years. And I would say for my practice, that is the very central influence work. I use it to send thoughts. I use it to send impressions, even emotions. It's very great for me. I love it for dreaming work, and I use it in tandem with spirits. Most of my crystals are also homes for a djinn. My carnelian ring is a prime example of that. I think the more I've learned about the Crystal Silence League, the more that I've read about it, and the more that I've been involved with the league itself, I find it fascinating. And I think for people who are asking, how does this relate to hoodoo? The techniques, methods, and mental discipline that you learn from the Crystal Silence League and its methods is directly applicable to the prayer work and the ritual work that you're going to do in hoodoo. A person who can grasp the ideas of meditation, who can grasp the ideas of focused prayer, is a person who can manifest their desires in this world.
Well, I'm going to go you one better than that, Ollie. The use of crystal balls in hoodoo goes back at least as early as World War I. And you will find, for instance, in that book I quote so often, the fabled Dr. Jim Jordan,
mm-hmm.
Jim Jordan used a palm ball. And
yes, he did.
And he read for people with it. So, again, people have this idea that hoodoo must be strictly African and only work with African tools.
Nope.
Or only things that can be found in the woods or on a farm. But, no, that's
mm-hmm.
not so. And Jim Jordan, a well-known root worker whose life was very well documented, did scry with the palm ball. Also, if you go a little later, now, the book about Jim Jordan was written in the 60s when he died, but it covers his entire life and has testimony from his friends and family members and other relatives who knew him and what he did. So they tell the stories that go back way, way back. But Harry Hyatt, who traveled around the South and interviewed 1,600 and some African-American root workers and small-time practitioners and professional root doctors, he also met up with some who used a ball, a crystal
yes.
ball. Now, there are different schools. Some people would like to use a small ball. That's what most people call it, a palm ball. It'd be 1 inch, 2 inch, 3 inch ball, depending on the size of your palm. And some people like to use a very large ball, which might be called a lap ball. It sits in your lap. Looks like, if you ever seen the Tarot card, the Queen of Pentacles, that's what a lap ball would look like. And then some are so big that you need them on a stand, and you really cannot carry them easily. And they can be clear. They can be natural quartz or rutilated quartz. They can be black, like onyx or obsidian. I prefer a black obsidian ball myself. They can be. They can be any kind of a colored or figured rock. Many people use a patterned or figured rock. No, it's not. The figures are not going to change. It's not going to all of a sudden what looked like a dog one time is not going to look like a house the next time. That's not what they're talking. It's not like a movie set. You know what I'm saying? Or a movie prop. A figured ball just simply has a figured pattern, and you just use that to allow your mind to slip. And I think I've mentioned in the past that my first crystal balls were marbles. Clearies and cat's eye marbles when I was a little child, and I didn't even know what crystal gazing was. I was, playing marbles, and I held one up, and I went, oh, my word, there's something in there, and I sort of just slipped into a trance. So cleary marbles were my first crystal balls, and some people still use them.
That's really funny that you bring that up, because how it was discovered that I have the gift for scrying in the Middle East tradition, scrying and dreaming go hand in hand. People who are scryers also dream true. People who dream true can also scry. That's kind of the way it's taught. But I remember as a child, and this is very young, I would say probably 4 years old or so, when I would be laid out to bed, I would look at the wall. I would turn and face towards the wall, and the wall was painted white. But it would have patterns on it, right, from the way the paint touched the surface. And I would stare into that, and I would go into a trance, and over time, the paint would reveal images and stories, and it would actually move in my mind's eye. I could see the patterns moving. And in the morning, I would relate these stories to my family, and that was when they're like, he's the heir, he's got the gift, and I was trained in the arts of scrying and dreaming. But it started off with a kid just staring at a wall. And it goes to show you that any surface can really act. Well, crystals are amazing. I use a carnelian ring on the go. Everywhere I am, people just see me staring in the ring. They probably think I'm crazy, but I'm reading their mind. Or I have something at home. I have a crystal ball. But you can use anything, even a wall, water. It can be used to scry. So we do call it crystal gazing, but there is all sorts of methods that can be employed.
Right, and then I'm going to go a little bit further into the ones that are not spheres. Although Claude Alexander Conlon used spheres, as far as we know, exclusively, there's a long tradition of what are called palm stones, and these are smoothed, flattened, shiny stones. Some of the best ones are obsidian. Obsidian palm stone that fits your hand. It looks like ink, and a lot of people will scry into ink or into water. This little palm stone, when you hold it in your palm of your hand, will, if it fits your hand right, look like you have ink in your hand. It's amazing, really amazing. Oh. There also are John Dee calls show stones, which are, this is a pebble of quartz that's all rough and sandy on the outside and then has been sliced across the middle, and inside you see all of the fractures and rutilations and inclusions that stone may have. You're like looking into a little world. They're a little more expensive because they have to be handmade. They're very pretty. And then the other thing is crystal points. And, John, you know more about crystal points than I do. Some people have begun to use those. That's where people say, oh, it's so new agey to use crystal points. But people can scry with crystal points, and people can also use crystal points in magic, correct?
Well, yes. Why not? There are certain crystal points that lend themselves describing purposes, transparent stones and the black stones, obsidian. There's a discussion right now going on in the chat about obsidian spheres for scrying and obsidian palm stones for scrying. Excellent. And a lot of people have used quartz. I'll tell you that one of the favorite techniques I've used for a meditation or a scrying was using a crystal ball with the elements. I described it in the newsletter this last month, where you gaze at a flame through a crystal ball or running water, or you gaze at the sky. And back in the 90s, I met a Sioux shaman. His name was Gilly. and he sky gazed through a smoky quartz crystal, or rutilated quartz crystal, and he sky gazed, and I said, "Oh, how fascinating!" And he thought it was fascinating. I had a little 2-inch crystal that I used, a crystal ball, clear ball. And he goes, "Oh, you use a clear crystal. What do you see through that?" And I said, "Well, what do you see through a cloudy crystal?" And so we exchanged the clear ball for the cloud, for the crystal, for the smoky crystal. And I sky gazed through his crystal, and it was a wonderful experience. And he goes, "Well," he said, "Well, I'll be damned. Look through the clear ball, looking at the clouds." And I said, "Yes, you look through it." He goes, "Don't teach me how to sky gaze, son." And so he was looking, and I was looking, and so I immediately went out. We were at a psychic fair, you know, doing this, and I immediately got a large smoky crystal, you know, with rutilations in it to do the sky gazing, and it was a wonderful technique using the crystal and the water gaze. You look running water through it, and there's a place not far from here in Cumberland Falls, Kentucky, and it's a park. It's Cumberland Falls, and at night they have a moon bow. If you go to the falls during the full moon, there's a moon bow. This is a rainbow created by moonlight. And all I can tell you, yes, oh yes, this is when my girlfriend and I kind of, we had our commitment ceremony. We had our honeymoon there, pretty much, and that moonbow is something unearthly.
Wow.
And if you look through a crystal at that moonbow, all I can tell you is those of us who lived through the 60s, there's nothing that happened in the 60s that can compare looking at a moonbow through a smoky crystal. It was just at Cumberland Falls, Kentucky.
With someone you love.
With a pure heart and clear conscience, looking through a crystal at a moonbow at 2 a.m.
That's beautiful. I gotta throw in something else here too. The newsletter that we've been mentioning in the chat room is called the Crystal Gazette. And John St. Germain is the editor of the Crystal Gazette. Now, we're putting out a Crystal Soundless League newsletter we did a couple of years ago, and it sort of fell into disrepair and just sort of ceased for a while. And it is back, and John has taken it over. And that is really something. So if you subscribe to the Crystal Gazette, you can go to the Crystal Soundless League website, click on the link, and you'll see the archives of it. Also, the Crystal Soundless League will be having its own radio show, and that's going to be on Tuesdays. We'll tell you a little bit more about that a little bit later on. So subscribe to the newsletter and listen to the radio show, and you'll learn a whole lot more about crystals, about the different crystals, and the different uses for different kinds of stones, and different ways that they've been applied. All right, Miss Tammy Lee.
Yes, ma'am, Miss Kat, and y'all, the Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Rootwork Hour with your hosts, Catherine Ironwood and Conjurman Ali, and this week's very special guest, John St. Germain from AIR, will be right back. We'll be taking calls from our listeners, answering their questions through spiritual divination, and prescribing down-home conjure remedies and remediation. Our call-in clients are selected from among those who have filled out a short questionnaire at the Lucky Mojo Forum at forum.luckymojo.com. And you can listen to the show online through Blog Talk Radio or by telephone by dialing 818-394-8535. And if you have filled out a client questionnaire at the forum, please dial in now to 818-394-8535 and press 1. So let us know that you're available to be on the air. We will select callers by their area code, and if your area code is announced, we'd like for you to say hello and let me, your announcer, Miss Tammy Lee, read a brief description of your situation before turning it over to our host. Now it's time to go to our first new client that's calling in with us. This is calling in from area code 914. This is Elijah. Elijah, are you there, caller?
Okay.
Hi, welcome to the show. I'm going to go ahead and let our host know that this is your first time calling into the show, but that you've also had readings with Luke Flores up through at least September of this year, correct?
Yes.
Okay, super. And I'm going to give a brief description of your situation for our host. And here we go. The guy that I'm seeing has been checking his online profile. I'm concerned he is messaging other women. He is also distant and uncommunicative when we are apart. Turning it back over to you, please.
All right. That was pretty brief, so I'm going to ask a couple more questions. What is your sign of the zodiac?
I am an Aquarius.
Aquarius. All right. Now, this person that you're talking about, the Facebook messages, I'm going to ask just a couple of questions. What sign is that person?
He is a Scorpio Sag cusp.
Scorpio Sag cusp. All right. And how long... Well, let me ask another question, because it's hard to read, for me to read without, you know, some focus in on this thing. How long have you been together, and have you actually had a very close relationship?
We have known each other for 5 months. We've been together as sort of a couple for 3 months.
Okay. All right. So this is a new relationship, really.
Yes.
All right. That makes a lot more sense to me, because I was thinking if this had been going on for a while, you know, you'd probably know already without calling us. And I worry, you know, about these Facebook things. I'm going to tell you, I've seen people try very hard to, you know, understand what's going on in somebody else's life and fail. I've seen it happen where people jump to assumptions, you know. So let me just see what we can do as far as reading. Now, I'm going to use the Rider-Waite Tarot deck. That's what I use for
reading.
And get my cards out right here. Okay. So the question is, are your suspicions true? Would that be a fair way to put it?
Yes.
You already have the suspicions. You're not just, you know, right. Okay. All right. Well, what I have here is three cards that tell me that your suspicions are true, but part of it, there's three parts to this, and each part is a little different. And I'm seeing here that you may, if you push too hard, you may ruin the situation. But I'm just going to say, the first card is the Nine Wands. The Nine of Wands is a card that shows someone with a bandage around their head looking a little worried. Behind them there are eight sticks or staffs sticking up, and they're leaning on number nine. And they're looking to the left, which is to say the past. Have you been hurt in the past by relationships that were not as honest as you would have liked?
Yes.
Okay, because this is what we call... Thank you. Because this is what we call the card of past pain. And this is a person who has become hypervigilant because they've been damaged in the past and they're just worried. So you have your guard up. Now, in some ways, that's good. You don't want to repeat the same mistakes. And you now know some of the warning signs. But it also can make you a little bit on edge about things that may not be really the cause of real trouble. So... First of all, check yourself. Are you, and I don't need you to answer me, but just check yourself, sit for a moment and ask yourself, am I worrying because of what happened to me in the past? I know I've done that many a time, so I can just speak as one who knows. Second card is another card of someone facing the past, and this is the Queen of Cups. Now, this says to me that you may have the ability to see inside this person very well. This is a card usually of a psychic reader, a card of someone who has a connection to spirituality and dreams, or who can see inside of people's minds, see inside of their hearts, and generally has the ability to look deeply into another person. So what I'm seeing here is that it may be that you are actually seeing true. In other words, what started off with what I could call maybe, I'm not going to dignify it by calling it paranoia, but just say a little touch of suspicion that, in fact, you may have actually hit on something here that actually may be the truth. And I am with you on that concern, because you may have the ability to see things that others do not see. And let's put it this way. You may not have needed me to do this reading for you. You may already have gotten the answer, because you yourself are psychic to a certain extent. You can read people. Okay? So that's a distinct possibility. Okay? And the third card is a bit of a sad card, and I want to prepare you for this, because it is not the greatest card to get here. It is called the card of the moon. And we all think, you know, you read cards, oh, the sun, the moon, the stars, it's all so fabulous. But in Tarot, the moon is not the great card that you would think it would be. It's a card of losing your way. It's a card of confusion, disappointment, and it can be more related to things like lunacy than it is to a natural goddess worship or something that other people might associate with the moon. So here we have a picture of the moon looking down, kind of crying, kind of sad, downturned mouth, very sad. And the moon stands for the female. And there is a little creek, and there's a little crawdaddy or crayfish in the creek waving its arms, and it's on a path, but it can't get on that path because it can't leave the water. And to either side of the path, there's a dog and a wolf, and they're howling at the moon. And then the path goes between two towers and then onward, but you never get to the moon. The dog and the wolf aren't even on the path. The dog stands for a loyal person, someone who will be with you through thick and thin, your mate, your equally yoked partner. The wolf is someone who's a little bit more uncivilized, untamed, wild, maybe even a little bit coyote trickster-like. And they're both howling at the moon. And this says to me that the man that you are interested in himself is double-natured. He has two natures. Part of him wants to be a loyal, faithful person, like a dog is in a pack. But then, you know, dogs are indiscriminate in who they have sex with. That's why we call a man a dog. The wolf is a dog, but it's even more wild and less reliable. So what I'm seeing here is that there is two natures in this man, and he is not probably going to satisfy you because he is not stepping up to be walking that path with you. He's kind of dancing around the issue here. That's my feeling of it. Now, yes, I could say, oh, you were paranoid because you were hurt in the past, because that's what the first card says, but the second card is our strong card here. You know it. You know what's going on. You didn't even need me really to read for you. And the third card says, this may be a situation that is not beneficial to you. A distant and uncommunicative man is not going to be the partner of your dreams. Okay, so that's my take on it. Let me turn this over to John St. Germain and see what he has to say.
Oh, well, thank you, Kat. Thank you very much. That's a very powerful reading. It also opens up something I would like to ask you. Alicia, that's your name, Alicia?
Yes.
Okay. I'm going to ask my crystals some questions here for you for just a moment. If it hurts your ears, I'm sorry. It's a bad connection. Okay, the issue in the past here, I'm dealing with three stones here. I have a malachite, I have a jade, and I have a pink calcite. The issues in the past involve betrayal, is that correct?
Yes.
The big hurt was betrayal. And it wasn't just with lovers, was it? There was family involved as well. You were betrayed by your own family. Am I right?
Not that I know of.
I'm thinking about emotional distance between you and family members.
No, we're pretty close.
Okay. I think that the hypervigilance comes from the natural empathy that you have. You read other people very well, and sometimes you expect them to read you as well. And when they don't, you feel as if you're giving more than you're getting. And this sort of translates as a sense of betrayal. a sense that you're giving, they're not. And I think this causes you to relive a sort of scenario that you may have a tendency to pick. To pick people who may not be emotionally on the same level with you. Do you understand?
Yes.
Okay, yeah. And I can't help but think, though, that this is a dynamic that goes way back. When you're very young, when you were very young, this dynamic goes way back, that you are emotionally on a different level from the people around you. And so you're trying to work something out. This is something from the past. And this is why I would like you to find a stone called a rhodonite, R-H-O-D-H-O-N-I-T-E. And this is a very healing thing you can do. This is something that I think will help you find and attract people to you who are on the same emotional level that you're on. And you got to pardon my voice. I've got a little laryngitis. What's essential, I think, for you is to not repeat this again and again, because I don't think this is the first time this has happened to you. It's almost like you have an antenna for people who are going to keep doing this, this emotional disconnection that you have. So what I think is going to be very necessary is for you to create a healing, to adjust, to bring yourself in harmony. People are liquid crystal, and sometimes our crystal harmony is out of balance with the people around us. So I'm thinking if you can get a rhodonite, and it's not an expensive crystal at all, and here's an exercise you can do. Just take a few minutes every day and lay quietly and turn off your phone, make sure nobody calls you and interrupts you, and put this just below your solar plexus. This is just below your rib cage on your stomach, and just take a deep breath and let it out like that, like you're laying down a burden at the end of the day. Just let it out. And concentrate on that part of your body, that right there. And at some point, you're going to feel that crystal vibrate. You're going to reach a harmony with it. It's going to help harmonize you. And as you do this, you're going to notice that you're going to attract. And here's what you have to do. You have to project. You have to say this to yourself, and you have to believe it. I am loved. I love myself, and I am loved. And I am attracting the people to me right now that I deserve to have in my life. And when you feel that, when you believe it, now you have to believe this, because if you bring any kind of doubt to this, that's what you're going to project out. You have to really believe this. I am loved. I love myself. And you should love yourself first, because if you don't love yourself, you can't love others. That's logically impossible. I have to bring, I'm bringing the people into my life whom I deserve. And when you absolutely believe that, concentrate on that point where that crystal is and throw it out. And you have to really throw it, just throw it out. And then wait, and you will feel when you throw this out, remember what you project, you must receive, bring it back in. And do this every day. And do it for, don't do it for a long time at first, because this is really harder than you think. Start out at 5 minutes, and after a week, do it for 10 minutes. And I will guarantee you, you take my word for this, I will guarantee you, you'll find these problems will start to disappear. Then you'll start to attract people in your life who are on the same emotional level with you and are able to appreciate you and give you the things that you give them. You will give it to them. They'll give it back to you. You'll be on the same level, you see. Does this make sense?
All right. That's really good advice. Let's turn this over to Conjure Man Ali. He's going to give us some root work prescriptions. It looks like John agreed with my reading. So,
okay.
Ali, what would you do here?
You know, what you need is you need to wipe off this mess. You need to clean it off. You need to send it away. You need to just walk away from it, okay? The readings have indicated that not only are your suspicions right, but this is going to rehash some old wounds. Not worth it. I know that it's always hard to walk away from a relationship. I know that it's always hard to kind of take that leap and go, you know what, my suspicions were right. It's time to walk away. but I'm going to say it bluntly. I think it's time to do so. And like John mentioned, it's time for you to bring in someone who's on your level. So wash yourself clean of this mess. Here's what I want you to do. I'm going to give you some real simple root work, but root work that will help you out. I want you to get some root. I want you to get some lavender, violet leaves, and rose petals. And you're going to brew this into a tea. Right? Now, the rose petals can be dry. I want you to also have some fresh rose petals available as well. Then you're going to get yourself a bath. Run yourself a nice warm bath, something that you can soak into. You're going to pour some milk into that bath, a cup of honey into that bath. You're going to pour that tea that you made. You're going to swirl it all around so it's nice and mixed together. You're going to add a couple drops of Love Me Oil. Get Lucky Mojo Love Me Oil. Put a couple drops in there, and then cover the top of that bath with the rest of your rose petals, the fresh rose petals. And you're just going to soak in there, all right? You're going to go in there, and you're going to feel that luxuriant bath all over your body. You're going to feel it drawing out all that mess right out of you. All that hurt is going to go right in that water, and your heart is going to be mended. Now, you can repeat this bath as many times as you need to. I sense you should probably do it about 7 times at least, but you can do what I call touch-up baths as well. If there's a day you're feeling particularly down, if you don't feel like you're loved, draw yourself this bath, heal your heart, heal your wounds, and soak in there. It's a great, great bath. It's also wonderful for the skin. Dual-purpose baths are my life, all right? Now, well, you're going to get out of that bath and you're going to air dry yourself. You're going to gather a bit of that used bath water and you're going to dispose of it off of your property. Be careful, you know, the rose petals will gunk up your bath, so you want to make sure you remove them. That's not going to go down the drain. Common sense here, obviously. Dispose of the used bath water off of your property. And then I want you to go home, and I want you to do this nude, not the walking in the bath part. That you could put your clothes on. But when you come back home, go before your altar, go before your surface, take your clothes off, be nude, take the stone that John St. Germain recommended, make sure you have it on this surface. Get yourself some Love Me incense. You're an Aquarius, you're an air sign, so we're going to work with an air power here, okay? Air power, good way of phrasing this. So you're going to get yourself a paper. Get yourself a paper and write down all the qualities you're looking for in a lover. I want these to be meaningful qualities. We said it on the show before, and I'll say it again. Worrying about what car he drives may not be the best quality to look for. Now, saying that you want a man who's financially stable, who's generous, those are all perfectly good, right? But meaningful lists. And I want you to write down, be detailed, a person who reciprocates my love, who will match my love, you know, tenfold, who will love me as fiercely as I love them, who's on my level emotionally, mentally, physically, all of that. Put it all on that list, all right? And then what you're going to do is you're going to place this on a censer or thurible, and you're going to put up some Love Me incense right on top of that paper. Make a cone out of that incense, and you're going to light the incense, and you're going to pray as you send up your prayers to God. This is a burnt offering you're giving. You're going to ask God or your higher power, whoever it is, to bring that lover to you, to bring them quickly, to bring them swiftly from wherever they are in the world. You're going to send that call out to the four corners, and you're going to call them to you, right to your doorstep, right into your arms, right into your bed. Make sure that you let the incense burn all the way down. It should burn through the paper. You can light the paper on fire at the end if you'd like, so that it mix the ashes together. Go to your front door, and you're going to blow the incense out your front door and say, I send this out to the four corners of the world to bring me my lover now. Do this work. Make sure that you've got that stone there. You can do your meditation with the stone while you're doing the incense work, and you will find the love that is meant for you, because you're not meant to be alone.
Oh, that's really amazing.
Oh,
and it's straight up hoodoo, and you incorporated that rhodonite that John St. Germain from the Crystal Silence League prescribed. What a beautiful, beautiful spell. Thank you so much, Ollie, and thank you, John. That's really good. And caller, I know this was a little bit of a disappointment to you, but we want you to start fresh with someone who really will be good for you. All right, let's take it away with Miss Tammy Lee and our next caller.
Yes, ma'am, Ms. Kat, and y'all, support for this program is provided by the Lucky Mojo Curio Company in Forestville, California, and located online at luckymojo.com, and by the Association of Independent Readers and Root Workers, AIR, a directory of ethical and authentic conjure practitioners, located online at readersandrootworkers.org, and by the Crystal Silence League, a free online prayer service of missionary independent spiritual churches, located online at crystalsilenceleague.org. Now it's time to go to the phones and take our next client, and our next client is calling back in to us from June 2013. This is Han from the 650 San Francisco, California Bay Area. Han, are you there, caller?
Yes, I am.
Great. Well, welcome back to the show, and thank you so much for joining us today. And I'm going to go ahead and let our host know that, once again, we appreciate you being a loyal listener, and we know that you have the reading in June of 2013. Thanks for letting us know that again, and conditions have changed since your reading. And I also see that you are a client of Conjurman Ali's, and I'm going to go ahead and read the brief description of your synopsis, and here we go. In a relationship with a married guy, after some work done by Conjurman Ali a year ago, there's been some movement. He rented his own place and has told his kids the marriage is not working and he has moved out. But the movement is slower than desired. His wife is also making life difficult for him. He said that he's scared to take the next step, and I understand his concerns. Do I need more root work for this situation to speed things up or calm him? Or should I just wait patiently? Turning it back over to you.
All right, Han. I know who you are, and Miss Tammy Lee didn't say it, but you had written that you also have had readings from me, and I recognize you. Hi, Han.
Yes.
Hi. Well, I'm glad to hear that things are moving along. I know we've been reading about this for a while, and he has moved out. He's rented his own place. Now, I got to ask you a little bit of a question here. He's rented his own place. Is that just to meet you, or is he living there full time?
He spends the night there.
He spends the nights there. But then in the day, he goes back to be with the wife and children. Is that correct?
Yeah, dinner time.
Spends dinner time with them. Yes, I remember this case, and I think Ali may remember it too. And I have always thought you can win on this one. It's just slow going. All right. So since Ali has read for you before, he's going to read for you now. But I just want to give my solidarity here. And let's just take it away, Ali, and see what he has to say.
Sure. I have pulled cards here and taken a look at the situation to see where do things stand? Where do we go from here? You've gotten movement. Divorce work is always tricky work. It's very difficult because you're not breaking up a couple. You're breaking up two individuals that have social ties, romantic ties, blood ties in this case in the form of the family, spiritual ties. So it's very difficult work. The fact that he's moved out, got his own place now at least, that is a good thing. So now the question is, where do we go from here? Is more root work needed? The first card that I have here is the Three of Swords. Here is a sword that is struck by three blades. Well, here is a heart that is struck by three blades, my apologies, on a stormy background. This is a difficult situation. He is facing heartbreak. He is facing difficulties, and it is not an easy time for him. Emotions are running high. Both individuals are hurt as much as, you know, the other woman or the wife in this case is the opponent. She also is going through something difficult. Yes, she's making his life difficult, but it is out of a place of hurt. The wounds have not stopped yet, though. There are more wounds to come. There are more conflict to come. There is more strife to come. And also for you, this is not a situation where you go, oh, I have movement, victory. It's a situation of saying, prepare yourself. The road is still rocky ahead. The next card that I have is the Page of Pentacles. Here is a young individual standing in a beautiful meadow. He has a golden coin that he's receiving in his hand, and he's turning away from the back. The thing that's stopping him right now, the thing that's keeping him from moving forward is twofold. One, there's stability and financial stability. Divorces are financially difficult, and also it's a matter of stability. He's used to a certain lifestyle. He's used to a certain existence, if you will. That's why he sleeps in the apartment, or he sleeps in his own place. He has dinner with them. So he's still holding on. And we can see that with the Page of Pentacles. If you look closely at the Rider-Waite Page of Pentacles, he's turning away from the past. One foot is dragging behind him. This is an indication that he's not fully ready to move on. The next message in the Page of Pentacles is the children themselves. He may have told his children the marriage is over, but children are a very powerful force in a married couple's life. They can keep a relationship going even when the love dies. So I sense that his children are still a little bit, they're not on board fully. They may support and love their father no matter what, but he really has to come to terms with the fact that, you know, he's going to be in a liminal state. He doesn't want to get the disapproval of his children. He doesn't want to hurt them. That's why he's making this extra effort. So between the Three of Swords and the Page of Pentacles, I sense that the road ahead is not as smooth as one would hope. And the third card that we have here is the Three of Wands. The Three of Wands shows as an individual standing on a hilltop. He's leaning on a staff. Two other staffs are around him. He's looking down at the bay where the ships that he has been waiting for are coming in. This is a person who's leaning on a staff. The other two staffs represent your readers, myself and Miss Cat, who have read for you in this situation before. We've seen you through this situation. Victory is on its way, but it's not anytime soon. I don't sense them breaking up today or tomorrow or even next month. This is a long way coming. This is also a case where I would say it's probably not worth doing any further direct root work on this situation, like further breakup work. Now it's a time of preparing yourself, of moving on with your life, and letting things happen as they may. You sent your power out into the world. Work has been done. It will either continue, the ball will continue to roll, or it won't. That's what my cards say at this time. I'm going to turn this over to my colleague and see what they see, okay?
Okay. All right. All right. So, Ali says that the work has been set into motion. There is still some pain to come, still some change to come. There's some delay. Now, let's see what reading John St. Germain has. John, can you read this with crystals?
I believe I can. for this, I've selected a number of stones for this. This is a situation that's on an emotional level, I believe. Let me see what my crystals are going to tell me about this. This is a scary thing. Oh, yeah. You can hear the discord. See, there's discord. for this, I selected rose quartz. It's a sodalite and rose quartz. This is a love situation, and it's a love situation. It's a triangle. I want to tell you that he's terrified. He's absolutely terrified. This is a man who likes solidarity. He likes predictability. He loves routine. And for him to break out of a routine, break out of the known into the unknown, is a terrifying thing for him. That he got this apartment, it's huge. It's huge for him. So I'm going to tell you that this has plunged him into the unknown, and this has triggered a depression. He's very depressed. He's very scared, terrified. And that this is, if you do additional work, it would be work, prescription work to bolster him, to deal with the depression and to deal with the utter terror. And this is a situation that's terrifying him, that he is doing all. Han means he loves you very much. A lot of times in a triangle like this, I see the married man is using a third party as a port dorm, basically. A company situation like this, this is different. This is, do you agree with me? You two agree this is different. This is something that's different. This is a situation I think that can actually work. A lot of times I see this and I think, yeah, this is just going to have a sad ending. But the children are something that he wants to deal with, and that's why I think this is taking a long time. He wants the kids to be in a situation, a safe point. If you would like to help him, do you want me to contribute a suggestion to the work from a Crystal point of view, or should we wait?
Well, I get to be the one who does the root work, I think.
Okay.
So if you're done with the reading, I can take over from here and start in with root work.
Yeah, I think my crystals are telling me that there's fear and depression at work here, and he takes steps very, very slowly, and that would be the necessary step to do.
I agree with that. And I have been involved in this case, as has Ollie, for a while. Ollie said probably not to do more root work now. And I'm going to reluctantly agree with that.
Yeah. Root work on the situation itself.
If you,
but there's
if
other
you
root work
pressure on him, he might buckle.
Yeah, I'm going to agree reluctantly with what Ollie said, because you know me, Han. Mm-hmm. I'm the kind of lady who is, well, you didn't get what you want in 5 minutes. Well, let's throw another spell at it. So that's my way of looking at it. But I see that there. I mean, you have had movement, and so I mean, you know, we know. This was almost on the verge of breaking apart and crumbling at one point, and it has become a good deal stronger. Is that the case?
Yes, you're right.
Yeah. So my feeling is, let's just build slowly from what we've got. Now, the things that I would recommend as far as traditional hoodoo, I would want to build his courage up. I think John said it best when he said he's terrified. He may not show it, but in his heart, there is this thing about making that final declaration. As you phrased it, he told his kids the marriage is not working. That doesn't mean he told his kids, Mom and I are getting a divorce. He's saying, well, the marriage isn't working. What does that mean, you know, to the kids? So he's still playing a kind of a maybe game. So I would like you to do some work to bind the two of you. I don't think you need to do much more breakup work between them, because they're already coming apart. But do something to bind him to you, and also do it in such a way that it strengthens him, strengthens his heart. Now, John mentioned rose quartz, and rose quartz is the heart and love stone supreme. Some people will use red jasper because it's a brighter orange-red. And, of course, if you could afford a ruby, you could use a ruby. But I happen to like rose quartz, and especially I happen to like Madagascar rose quartz, which is a deeper, more intense rose color than the Brazilian rose quartz, if we're just talking rose quartz here. You can get a heart made of rose quartz and work with that on your altar. I would only do the mildest things with it. If you got just even a rose quartz palm stone, a nice heavy piece, a round piece, don't use a little tumble. I want you to use something that has some weight. And you can dress that stone and address it as if it were him. If you can afford a rose quartz skull, you could use it in the way that we use a skull candle to influence his thoughts. But you want to influence him for love. Rose quartz skulls are pretty pricey. Probably not everybody's going to want to buy one of those, but just a nice rose quartz piece of stone. You can also just get a little rose quartz tumble or a small piece and put it in a mojo bag or something of that nature. But what I'd like you to do is work on his courage. Now, rose quartz is for the heart, and a crucible of courage is also to strengthen the heart. You also might want to add to the crucible of courage some clarity, so that he sees things with clarity, so that he knows and really understands and feels what he needs to be doing. He doesn't want to lose you. He does love you. And he's just walking slowly the direction he's walking in. Crucible of courage, clarity, and you can also add to it a little bit of court case. King Solomon wisdom, things like that to get the legal work underway. And, you know, dress around him, my apartment. You know how to do this stuff because you had some consultations with me, so I know you know how to do the work. Dress a candle, things like that. Get a little bit of the powders, maybe put that in his socks or something like that. But those are the things that I would use. And I think that rather than do any more like, you know, cut and burn them apart, what you really want to do is build up his courage, build up his strength, make him be the man he should be. The Three of Wands tells us, however, and that was in Ollie's reading, that it will take time. That is the card of delays, but yet things will come to pass. So you be strong and encourage him to be strong. Praise him continually. When people are in a state of fear, one of the things that quickly breaks the state of fear is praise. And another thing that breaks the state of fear is unexpected gifts. You know, seriously, fear is like a treadmill that people get on. And you can break that with unexpected gifts and unexpected gestures. They sometimes will, you know, kind of like, whoa, what happened? Something good happened? I wasn't expecting it, you know. So also, we have a little thing here, sunstone and kunzite for depression and anxiety. And that is also very, very nice. I agree with that. So come on in here, John, and say what other stones you would say. I just have to say, Madam Nadia said something in chat. Unexpected gifts, that's a Taurus. Well, yes, it is a Taurus. You're right. I suppose for some people, unexpected food or unexpected sex or unexpected anything, but it breaks the cycle of fear, something positive. All right, so John, what do you have to add?
Oh, well, I made the suggestion for the sunstone and kunzite for the depression.
Yes.
And, and anxiety also. I suspect there's a bit of codependence issue with him as well, and for that, if you can find it, Iolite is. I'm told, I've never used it, but I'm told by a friend of mine who does work a lot with codependency issues that Iolite is very good for codependency. And it would seem...
That is Iolite?
Iolite.
Iolite, yes, I know the stone.
Yeah, I've never used that for codependency issues, but I have heard that's very, very good for codependency. She swears by it. She does a lot of work. She does work at a women's shelter, and she uses Iolite or Eolite quite a bit. And I suspect... the rose quartz was very discordant. You could hear it. It was really jarring. And I think there's emotional abuse going on here. I think she browbeats him a lot. And if that is the case, you want some pink stones in there. And so you can use rose quartz, a pink calcite. That's very inexpensive. A pink carnelian, a pink agate. A pink stone in there to heal the emotional abuse. You put all these in a little bag and present them to him as a present. You know, just give it to him. You don't have to tell him. What I found is that if one person in a partnership is into hoodoo, the other person doesn't want anything to do with it. There's a lot of that.
Sometimes.
That goes on. And so, but,
sometimes. You know, John, I just got to break in here. My husband and I do this with each other all the time. And my friends and my clients often say, how can you fool your husband? He's a magician. Why would I want to fool my husband? We sit there and do this stuff with each other. Here, take
this
right here.
I work with a lot of clients, and I say, you know, if you can give him, give him this and give him that. Goes, oh, no, if he knew. I try to give him to do a healing ritual together, and, you know, they'll say, oh, he'll never do that with me if he knew I was doing this. But if you give someone a bag of pretty stones, you can dress them with oils, you know, and put sachet powder in the bag and things. And it's a bag that smells good, and it's got pretty stones in it, and they never know.
Yeah. Oil on stones works pretty well. You got to wipe it off. They say sticky. Powder on stones, not so much. You can also smoke the bag with incense.
You can.
And I just want to go back to something. I had called out a list of oils, and Tammy Lee said this makes a good root worker special. Crucible of Courage, Clarity, Court Case, King Solomon Wisdom. It's a root worker special. You get all four of them in one bottle. All righty. Well, thanks a lot for calling, and thanks for keeping us up to date. Sweetheart, I know it's going to come true. You just got to keep on pushing, but gentle, gentle, gentle. And I want you to be especially working on his courage, his bravery, and build him up. Don't tear the wife down no more. All right. Now, we're going to go to our free spell section next. So let's turn this over to Miss Tammy Lee.
Well, yes, ma'am. And y'all, we have just about 12 minutes left in the Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Root Work Hour. And please join us on the LMC Radio Network here on Blog Talk Radio. We start out the week on Sundays with the Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Root Work Hour with Conjurman Ali and Miss Catherine Ironwood. And on Monday, we have Candelo's Corner with Candelo Canvisa. Tuesday, it's In the Streets with Beverly Smith. Wednesday, Liquid Libations with Andrea Weston. And on Thursday, it's the Now You Know Show with Professor Porterfield. All available through the LMC Radio Network, so tune in. And the LMCRadioNetwork.com. And now we're going to go ahead and turn this over to John St. Germain in Knoxville, Tennessee of johnstgermain.com for our free spell section. John?
But I just got to come in. You, what you didn't know, Miss Tammy Lee, is next Tuesday, folks, is the debut of the Crystal Silence League. So Tuesday we're going to have two shows. It's going to be the Crystal Silence League show first, followed by In the Streets with Beverly Smith. So mark your calendars.
Great.
And Beverly Smith will be moving after the Crystal Silence League. And Shiva will put all of that in the chat room, I'm sure. Or go to LMC Radio Network at Facebook, and all of the updates are given there. All right, now let's turn it over for that free spell.
Well, thank you. I'm going to give you a choice. Would you like a spell for money or for luck, love, health?
Oh my gosh.
Yep.
Well, we've covered two love issues here. Why not make it a third one? Let's have a trifecta of love.
A trifecta of love. Well, that's very good.
Right into love.
Right into love. And as the holidays are coming up, we can all use that, can't we? Well, this spell will use three stones and a crystal ball. And for love stones, you'll need three, and you can use either three of any stone or one of each of the stones. And for the love stones, let's use malachite, jade, and pink calcite. And you can use three of each stone or one of each. And you'll make a little base, and you'll put your crystal ball on that base. And, of course, you can dress these stones with the appropriate oil if you're attracting love, fire of love. Let's use love attraction oil. And then you will use this as a projection. And malachite, jade, and pink calcite look lovely together as a little crystal ball base. So you'll dress the stones and put your crystal ball on it, and you want to attract love. And so, again, we talk in the present sense. And so once again, we sit and we look at the crystal ball and those three stones, and we make ourselves very calm. And in our mind, we make ourselves very sure. Once again, we are loved. We are loved. I love myself. I love myself. You can search the entire universe over and not find anyone in the universe more worthy of love than you, than I am. This is what the Buddha taught. No one more worthy than you. Now, once you've done that, you love everyone else in the universe. You say, this love that you have, you project it out and love every suffering being in the universe, those who have done right by you, and especially those who have done wrong by you, because they need it more than anyone. And then you say, I am loved, and bring to me the love that I deserve. Bring to me a sympathetic lover, someone who appreciates me and whom I can appreciate. And once you believe this is possible, put it in that crystal and then send it out. And send it out to the uttermost reaches of the universe. Search the entire universe over for that lover. And when you connect it, when you feel the connection, bring it back in. It's like throwing it out like a rubber band. Bring it back in. And when you bring it back in, claim it, own it. It belongs to you. And then when you're through, take your crystal ball, wipe it off and put it away, and take your three stones and take them out in your front yard and bury them by your doorstep. And if you cannot bury them, take them, put them in a bag, and put them under your bed and keep them, put them somewhere safe. And that is the spell I give you to attract love into your life.
Wow. Wow. That's beautiful. That is really, really beautiful. And I know if you have ever worked with a crystal ball, some of you have never done this. What he's talking about is you have to get that feeling, that emotion, that knowledge of what is inside your desire. First you have to love, then you have to send into the world that idea that you are lovable. And when you feel it connect, you will feel it connect. I've done this, and
oh,
I can
will.
Guarantee that you will feel it. And then that most important part, bring it back in. Now, as I understood you, John, those three stones would be arrayed around the crystal ball, like in a triangle. Is that correct?
Yes, you make a little base of it, and you can find appropriate stones to make crystal ball bases. They're triangular. You can form them in a circle around the crystal ball, but it's really very cool to make a little base of your three stones.
Oh, I see. So you're actually got it. You
make a little cairn. Yeah, a little cairn.
Yes, a little cairn. I love that.
Isn't that nice?
That is really cool.
And the stones don't cost much. Most of the stones that I recommend, I call them slum stones. You can get them for under a couple of dollars each. Malachite's a little bit more. I think the piece of malachite I bought was $1.99 or $2.99. So you can get most of these stones for, really, you can make a nice little cairn for $5 to $10. And once you draw that love energy in, the stones are energized by it, and you can put it in a little bag and carry it with you. You know, it becomes an amulet, and you can keep dressing the bag and use it as the basis of a mojo. When you have those little stones energized, you just keep dressing it, smoke it with incense, and do quite. This is the sort of thing we're going to be discussing on my program, techniques, and it's an interesting thing too about meditation. A lot of people say I meditate to relax, but you know, the way meditation was taught by Buddha and by my teachers was that meditation is a very focused and powerful alertness. Most of my teachers said you meditate like your head is on fire. That's the level of intensity at which you meditate. And, you know, there's no way you can sit there and fall asleep if you meditate with this type of alert intensity, this ferocious intensity, and that's the type of intention you must have to do this projection work. You must burn and send it and push it. And we'll be doing meditation techniques and practices on the program. We'll be doing all kinds of stuff on the program. I have this wonderful excitement about this program. And the first one will be on persuasion techniques. Although, Kat, you should be teaching that. You said, gee, John, it'd be nice if you would do the newsletter. And I said, I don't really have time. And then I'm doing the newsletter. Then you say, gee, John, it'd be nice to do the radio program. My God, I don't have time. And now I'm doing the program. So, you know, you should be doing the one on persuasion.
Yes, I have taken a few courses in persuasion techniques and magical spiritual. Yeah, I've had a little experience
with that. You have a little
doll
of me there, you're watching, aren't you, John?
No, I don't have a little doll on you, John St. Germain, but I do have a lot of admiration and respect for you.
Likewise.
Folks, if you got to go sign up for the Crystal Gazette, and go to the crystalsilenceleague.com, and you'll see it says newsletter. Just sign up for that. Get the Crystal Gazette. You're going to love it. And listen to the show. He's going to teach you these techniques. And this was a free sample of what's going to come down on this radio show, The Crystal Silence League, with John St. Germain, the voice of The Crystal Silence League. All right, let's turn this over to Miss Tammy Lee, and she's going to take us out of here.
Well, yes, ma'am, Miss Kat. Thank you, Miss Kat and Conjurman Ali, and thank you so much, John St. Germain. In Knoxville, Tennessee, of johnstgermain.com, for being our very special guest this week. And we invite you to tune in next week when we'll have our special guest member from the Association of Independent Readers and Rootworkers, Professor Porterfield. And once again, y'all, we've come to the end of another Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Rootwork Hour brought to you by the Lucky Mojo Curio Company in Forestville, California. You can find Miss Kat via the Lucky Mojo Forum at forum.luckymojo.com and Conjurman Ali at conjurmanali.com in Mission Viejo. I'm your announcer, Miss Tammy Lee, joining you from TripleCrownConjure.com in Pensacola, Florida. And the Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Rootwork Hour can be heard every week live on Blog Talk Radio at 3 p.m. Pacific, 6 p.m. Eastern Time. And the shows are available in archive by LuckyMojo.com/radioshow.html. For all of us at Lucky Mojo, I'd like to thank you so much for being here and invite you to tune in once again next week at the same time when you will hear the familiar strains of the Memphis Jug Band playing the Jug Band Waltz. Thanks, everybody. Bless and have a great week. Goodbye.
Thank you, Miss Tammy Lee. Thanks a lot. Thank you, Ollie. It was always a pleasure to be with you on the radio.
Pleasure's all mine.
Oh, my pleasure to be on again with you guys. Such a lot.
Well, thank you, John. This was great, and we hope to have you back real soon. But we're also going to be tuning into your show on Tuesday. Now, folks, one more time, go to lmcradionetwork.com. From there, you can click the links to get to the Facebook pages of all the radio shows we have in the pipeline right now. And we are going to be adding more. This is for real. We're really doing it. We love you all, and we really are so pleased to be able to be of service. Make sure you check out the other shows. Even if you think, huh, that's off my radar, you'd be surprised. You may find something that's new, original, different, something you never thought about before in your spiritual path. And there's something there for everybody. All righty.
There's something for everybody, that's for sure.
Yeah. Good night.
Good night. Happy Thanksgiving, everyone.
Happy Thanksgiving, everyone.
And happy Chaos Day.